Thank you very much, Domitique. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Well, if you hear that music, that means it must be Friday afternoon here in the Allstate Showcase Studio as we sit along Michigan Avenue. Excited. Later in the program, we'll talk to Damon John. You watch him on Shark Tank, I hope, every week or so. Damon's got a book out, and we're going to talk about, you know, all these people have different strategies for succeeding in business. Damon's is sort of to quit. Not quit, but, you know, take some time away, get away from it all. So we'll talk to him about that. Also, Challenger, Gray, and Christmas on the idea that maybe it's time to stop testing for marijuana when you're hiring workers. But we start on Fridays with Blue Sky Innovation. Andrea Haines is in the studio. She's the editor. Andrea, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, have you noticed, this happened to my wife, where on her iPhone, she's texting people and she's missing messages because the boxes don't line up. Like the latest box goes up higher than it should.
Yeah, I haven't had that particular problem, but one that I really had a lot of was the thing where you couldn't type capital letters without crazy things happening.
Really?
I mean, there have been some funky little bugs happening.
So we bring that up because it has to do with an article that was in Blue Sky this week, and it's about problems with Apple that didn't used to happen, right? I mean, are they rushing things out, or what's going on?
Yeah, so they're kind of known for these triumphant, massive, super fast, you know, splashy upgrades. And everybody loves that, and it keeps people devoted to them. But it's kind of, you know, this story is a little behind-the-scenes culture kind of thing, and it's apparently driving their engineers a little bit crazy because they kind of have to be on these schedules for these dramatic announcements, and sometimes things aren't ready, and things can be a little bit broken.
So they're changing the way they release updates?
Is yeah, so they're trying about? To go a little bit lighter on that and actually letting, you know, letting the engineers figure out when things are ready. So they're looking ahead to what big things they'll be announcing in the fall, as they always do,
right.
But then also looking at maybe what's not quite ready yet.
So, well, I like that. I'm not in a big hurry to have my N emojis moving around if they're not ready to move correctly, right?
I want my N emojis to be perfect.
I was reading this story,
released.
And I'm like, I don't know if I have any N emojis.
I don't. I don't have the newest phone, so I'm
oh, that's what
not
it is. You have
enjoying
to have
the N emojis yet.
So what do we see coming is from them in the fall as far as upgrades? N emojis, one.
Yes. So they also have some things that allow apps and screens to work in more functional ways. One kind of cool thing is there's going to be a digital health tool that will do things like let parents see how often or how much time their children are spending staring at their screens.
I like that.
An issue we probably talk about pretty often. And yeah, improvements to the Animojis, which those who are using it may be excited about that.
An Animoji is an animated emoji, right?
Exactly.
I don't need any still emojis.
Yeah.
I don't want them dancing around.
We're still catching up on those.
You know, we talked earlier this week, I guess it was just yesterday maybe, about Amazon and drones and their use of drones and how in different states they would be a better fuel economy than others. Like, so California, they would be great when it comes to reducing carbon emissions because California gets a lot of clean energy. In Missouri, where they would fuel them with coal charging battery chargers, not so much. Anyway, so you guys have an article about Amazon and how they are moving into the medical supply business. Now, we know they're toying with this idea of offering a new way of medicine, right, with Warren Buffett, and there's another company, I don't remember who it is, J.P. Morgan Chase,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this is sort of a different story, but where they have a market waiting, and they want to deliver medical supplies to hospitals and doctors.
Yeah, so they're looking at, you know, supplies are a huge cost of hospital business, you know, doctors' offices. So, you know, you can imagine using, you know, the dash button to reorder medical supplies, or ways that Amazon's speed and, you know, lower prices could impact medical offices.
Right. And so, but the idea is there was someone who resisted saying, because chain of custody is kind of important when it comes to medical supplies. Amazon's a supplier, they're not a producer. So will that hold them back?
Yeah, that complicates it a little bit. But another interesting thing about this was, you know, there's this whole idea that Amazon would be jumping into pharmacy type
right,
of business.
Right.
And this raised the question of, like, is this more what they're looking at? Like, are they pursuing that because they need to be licensed in certain ways to distribute the medical thing?
So they're asking mom and dad to invite them into the house, but they really want to date the sister?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, could it affect prices will be a question down the line, because obviously anything that brings down some of those prices could be a good thing.
Speaking of dating, Valentine's Day is over, but there was a story from Steve Burness at the Better Business Bureau about the number of people who are duped into fake relationships online.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it? It's like
it's
the
like
kind
a billion
of
dollars,
that,
more, right?
You know, existed pre-internet, certainly. This idea of romance fraud, where someone is basically pretending to be your bae, but really then they're, you know, softening you up to get some money out of you. And of course, online is now one of the ways that that happens, unfortunately.
And an estimated 82,000 consumers who use dating sites in the past 3 years have been scammed, not just approached, but scammed by people who are asking for money. They warm up to you. I know someone who lost a lot of money in this. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's preying on people who are lonely and gaining their trust and then, you know, shaking money out of them. So the Better Business Bureau kind of took note of increased complaints about online dating scams and tried to put a number on it. And they came up with $1 billion since 2015.
So the lesson is you should Skype with your lover, not just to check her out, but to make sure she's real.
Yeah.
Make sure she's even a woman.
I don't know. If they're asking for money, I mean, come on.
Forget it. Yeah. Andrea Haynes, the editor of Blue Sky Innovation. We'll talk again next week.
Great to see you, Steve. Yeah, have a great weekend.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Damon John is on a phone line. You see him on Shark Tank. He has a new book out as well, Rise and Grind, Outperform, Outwork, and Outhustle Your Way to a More Successful and Rewarding Life. Damon, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, listen, before we talk about the book, I've got this idea for a business, and I'm looking for investors. Do you ever hear that?
I do. I hear it a lot. I hear it usually 3 times a day by my mother.
Have you ever invested in your mother's business?
Absolutely. Of course. I don't want to get punished.
You're a smart man. Well, I want to talk about the book and your success with FUBU and all, but you say that Rise and Grind sort of was born out of curiosity. Explain that for me.
Yeah, you know, I had already had great success with some of my other books and giving people a path, but I started to look for a certain other path myself, you know, and after 9 years of Shark Tank, 60 different companies I've invested in, a brand new daughter at home, a brand new fiance, and so many other things going on in my life, I started to say I need some more inspiration or techniques I can apply to myself, because I need to speak to people who've been through this stage in their life, because the Damon John at 20 can no longer, you know, I can't operate as the same Damon John at 20 years old, right?
I understand that, yeah. Well, you talk about being a kung fu master through your life, and that's sort of in reference to that, I think, that you might always be skillful, but you need to master different skills at different stages in your life.
Yeah, you have to adjust. And I went out to seek information from other people who had been there in life in various different forms, Catherine Zeta Jones, Santana, but even people younger than me, like my buddy Kyle Maynard, who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with no arms and no legs and no prosthetics. And I wanted to find out their disciplines and some techniques, and I wanted to start applying that to my life. And after I interviewed all these people, I said, wait a minute, I got to tell this to other people. I have to share this.
So you mentioned a couple of names there. I know Joel Osteen is another name, Santana. Take Santana and Osteen. What do the two of them have in common in their approaches? Or maybe what do they do differently that might work for other people?
Well, first of all, they're both men of faith, deep faith, and both of them wake up every single morning, instead of looking at the news and seeing how the world has blown up and worrying about everybody else, what they do is they give gratitude, whether to Lord or to themselves, and they surround themselves, and they mentally encompass all the things that are making them a better person and that radiates from them, and then they start concentrating on their goals and what they want to accomplish in life, instead of worrying about answering emails or looking on Instagram or listening to complaints. They're very, very satisfied with who they are when they go out. Now, Santana happens to put 5 books on his nightstand, and out of those 5 of his favorite books, that could be the favorite books over the last 6 months, he reads just 1 page out of one of them, and it puts him and it gives him a new method on how to act during that day, and he tries and exercises. Of course, Joel has the Bible. And he'll go into reading something and say, how can I apply this to myself? They also both will never, you know, Joel, I think Wednesday, he cuts his phones off from Wednesday to Saturday, and he will not answer any emails or calls because he's getting prepared for his sermon. And Santana, on the flip side, will do the same, because he'll go out and basically play his guitar and let the energy through his body go through his body about his guitar, and he won't think about the rest of the world, and that's why he's probably one of the top 10 guitarists in history.
Okay, reading the Bible.
Both of them will exercise these.
Reading the Bible isn't surprising to me. Tell me what are we talking about? I'm interested in the Santana idea of just reading a page a night. Are these Are these business books? Are they personal books? Are they novels?
They're books that range everything from personal development to novels to any kind of book it is. And it's not a page a night. What he does is he'll read them at night whenever he has a chance, okay. But he'll keep all five of them on his night table in the daytime. So when he wakes up, he'll read just one page of one of the books that he had highlighted that had gave him some level of inspiration throughout the course of his reading the book.
So in the morning, he wakes up sort of with a little review.
Correct.
In a focus. Well, you know, I think a lot of business books or self-help books in general pick a path and they say this is the path you should follow. It seems to me what I've read of yours is that you've determined that there is not a singular path.
You're absolutely right. You know, all the subjects I've read in the studied in the book probably do around the same 10 or 15 things, but they all do them in various different ways. And if you read the book today, you may not resonate with the way Catherine Zeta-Jones is more precautious about what she does in life or the way she takes all these candles wherever she goes to kind of give her some normalcy in her hotel rooms or any place else she is. But 10 years from now or 20 years from now, you may resonate with it because you're going to be at a different time in your life. You may read the book right now. You're 25 years old and you have... You can work 20 hours a day and you have no family you have to go home and answer to, but you can't do that same thing when you're 50 years old. So this book is for various different times in people's lives, and they can take 1, 10, or 100 things out of here and use it for themselves, but whatever works for them.
Tell me about Tyler the Creator and why I'd like to spend time in a tree with him.
Well, because Tyler, the Creator, is a young man who Grammy-nominated person who didn't use any kind of retailers or other type of outlets to make sure people hear his voice. He's created a huge following for himself from fashion to music by himself. But what he does, just like every one of them, you know how I said Joel Osteen and Santana take that time in the morning to kind of energize and know what their goals are in life? Tyler will go and sit in a tree, swing his legs out of a tree. He takes his notepad with him when most millennials don't write anything down these days. He will write down every single thing he's thinking about, and he'll find this place that he needs to know, who is Tyler? What do I want in life? He'll write them down this pad because he may revisit that pad 2 days from now, or he may revisit what he said a year from now and see how he's developed. And I noticed one thing. Most of the billionaires I know all walk around with a pad. And this young man understands the value of notating where he is at, where he's going, and where he's been, and spending time alone to just try to be him with, well, you know, one with Tyler.
So the theme of all,
what everybody else in the book is.
What we're talking about in all this, and really is not jumping in, but jumping out a little bit, unplugging and getting away.
100%, because you think about it, when you wake up in the morning, what do? You look at your emails, you look at Instagram, then you're late for work, you kiss the kids and your wife or the husband, you say you'll be back, you never come back until they're all asleep. All these other people in the book, what they do is they don't answer emails, they don't look at social media early in the day, they send out, they don't care about other people's problems, they schedule time with their family, their wives, their husbands, their kids, because they make that a priority. Most of us, we schedule when to be on the train, when to go to the office, and when to have this dinner meeting. We don't schedule to call our mother and tell her we love her or to take our daughters out on a date. And what happens is the kids end up becoming, they go off to college, you never see them again, and your parents are not around like they should be. So all these people are extremely selfish in the best interest of their family and themselves.
I like that, and I like the way you describe it as taking offense rather than defense. If you are responding to all of those posts and emails all day long, you're in a way acting defensively rather than going on offense and determining your own sort of day, your own sort of fate. Damon John is on the phone line. He wrote the book Rise and Grind. You see him on Shark Tank. All right, I like talking to authors, and I like finding out what they learn about themselves when they write a book, because I think that often happens. What did you learn about yourself in writing this book?
Well, first of all, before writing the book itself, as I was going down this path, what I learned all this information, and then I decided to write the book. So what I initially learned was that I ask every single thing about my business and any people I have interactions with. At the end of the week or the month, I'm looking at my business going, how can I increase sales and reduce costs? What kind of inventory I have? How much dollars in the bank? So I ask all these questions, no matter how good things are going. But you know what? I'll go to the doctor and I'll get a physical because my blood comes back okay, and I, you know, and he says I'm good, I won't ask any other questions. I started to ask more questions about my health and how my life was doing. I found out through that process that I had stage 2 cancer, and I addressed it right away. I got the cancer pulled out of my body. I'm cancer-free, and I started to make sure that I make sure that I make a priority, whether every week or every month, to take care of some major activity in my life to get better medical advice. So I get a colonoscopy, endoscopy, take my blood, or whatever else I need for early detection. So I increase that aspect of my life. I also started working out in the daytime instead of working out at night. I worked out at night because I thought, you know, the emails are not going off like crazy and, you know, nobody's around and I don't have time in the day. Well, I started working out 1 hour during the day and it made me more proficient. I looked over the course of a month, I saved 2 days in work because I was more proficient. So I probably put about 10 things to practice out of these methods that I've learned from other people.
Damon John, Rise and Grind is the name of the book we'll watch on Shark Tank. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, and I'll send you an email with my business idea. I think it could be really big.
I appreciate it.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Domati. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And following that breaking news, of course, we'll check in with Orion and get the Wall Street numbers coming up in just a few minutes. In the studio now is Dr. Phil Figel, who's the president or past president, Phil? Past president?
The most coveted position in all organizations.
The past
immediate
past. Right, of the Chicago Dental Society. And, well, you look as if I saw you last year. You got just a weight off your shoulders.
I look rested, don't
you,
I?
Do you look rested, Tan? But we're talking ahead of the big conference, right, that's coming up next week, the Chicago Dental Society. Is it the winter conference? What's the title?
Yeah. Again, thanks, Steve, for having me back this year. The Chicago Dental Society holds every year its midwinter meeting. The Dental Society represents dentists from certainly the Tri-County area, as well as nationally, internationally, and associate membership this year. It's the 153rd midwinter meeting next week, February 22nd to the 24th, down at McCormick Place. It's about 30,000 attendees all throughout the dental profession under one roof.
So that's a big boost for, I want to talk about what it means for dentistry, but just in terms of the city, you're bringing 30,000 people and that's not too shabby.
It's a pretty substantial economic impact for the city of Chicago, somewhere in the range of $20 million revenue boost for the city through hotel stays, restaurant visits, cabs, public attractions, those type of things.
And it's impressive that you can get them have midwinter meeting, not a midsummer meeting. You get these people to come to Chicago in the winter.
After 153 years, it continues to surprise us.
Tell me where we are in dentistry now, because you know we talk a lot about tech innovation and things like that. And getting ready to talk to you, I almost wonder if you have to be. I mean, it seems to me like computer literacy must be much more required in dentistry now than it probably ever was.
Technology has really exploded within our industry. At the meeting, there is some 240 different classes given by 140 different clinicians, a lot of it having to do with the technology craze in dentistry. You don't necessarily have to be tech savvy. I think those of us who are a little bit further along in our career have learned technology over the years. The younger generation that's coming in, the newer dentists that are starting to come in, are already so tech savvy. They're far ahead of the curve.
How has dentistry changed from when you started and were, you know, first year out to the people who are just first years out now?
I think that's been one of the biggest changes. I mean, we're improving techniques. We're improving delivery of dentistry to patients. We're trying to keep costs down to a certain level. And the education that students are receiving today is far greater than what we received back in our day.
When you talk about medical doctors, they talk about being able to perform things from a distance or diagnose or visit patients over the internet. Is that something that is moving in dentistry? I mean, it seems like it would be a little different in dentistry.
It's a little different in dentistry, and I can't really comment as an expert on it. I can only give anecdotal experience,
right.
And that would be that we're treating conditions that are right there in a patient in front of us. That'd be the only way that we can actually take care of the problem. A teledentistry or something to phone in or view over the internet wouldn't really work because
right.
we're treating a condition right then and there.
And you can't see
Correct.
The things you would need to see.
Correct.
And so when it comes to this conference, what do you think, what do dentists get out of it? What do you hope dentists go home with?
You know, the multitude of courses that we're giving goes from lecture courses to hands-on participation to actual live patient demonstration. So they're really
Is there a long line for those volunteers?
Each clinician brings their own. They're very willing to be there to be part of the experience.
Right. It's not a lottery or anything like
no,
that.
No, it's yeah. not. The loser doesn't no. get put in the chair.
But I was thinking winner, but go ahead, Phil.
The multitude of those courses really help enhance the education experience for any member of the dental team that's coming. So really the ultimate goal is to gain as much knowledge and information so that when they go back to their offices, they can deliver the quality of care right. that patients really deserve.
What's the big mover right now? What's the big hot topic?
I still see implants as making big inroads in our profession. I think they're probably right now the standard of care for replacing a tooth that's unrestorable in any other fashion. So, and their prognosis and their longevity is very high.
I was thinking about also I wanted to ask you about the opioid crisis, and
sure.
you know the Congress just funded some money that obviously it's a huge ordeal, a national ordeal. Dentists prescribe pain medication. And so I would imagine that's something that's on your radar as well.
It is. And again, through education efforts of the Chicago Dental Society and our state and national organizations, dentists have become acutely aware of the opioid epidemic that is present today. And we really want to be part of the team that creates the solution for it. There's a lot of things that we're working on within our profession that helps turn the tide on that opioid epidemic.
Like what?
We're coming up with alternative. There's a lot of research been done on
it's a hard thing, right?
Medication.
If someone comes to you and says, I'm in pain, I need pain medication.
And the reason why opioids were used in the past was because they were very, very effective. And they were inexpensive. And they would eliminate the pain. They'd manage the pain very quickly. So in studying all that, now we're looking at saying instead of giving patients a longer term of that medication, if they absolutely need that to control their pain
right.
for a much shorter time period, because it's going to be managed very quickly. And then the alternative is to use different medications. There's been a lot of research done that has come up with alternative medications. Very simple. Ibuprofen mixed with acetaminophen, which brand names would be Advil mixed with Tylenol,
mm-hmm.
alternating those medications every 3 hours proves to be a much more effective painkiller than opioids.
Oh, no
themselves.
Kidding.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very easily fixed situation.
Easily fixed. We have to, awareness is the number one thing for patients to know and be aware that there's an opioid epidemic out there and that professionals are looking at it, knowing it's there and wanting to fix that epidemic.
I've had a couple of episodes in the last couple of years where I've been prescribed pain medication and I was actually kind of afraid to take it. I mean, mm-hmm. so I almost wonder if that's a problem too on the other side, that people are dealing with pain they don't need to just because they're almost afraid too.
That could very well be, and they just have to, you know, speak to their dentist or their doctor and ask what's an alternative instead of taking some of these stronger medications.
Dr. Phil Figel is the past president of the Chicago Dental Society, which means he will be feted and toasted and will be the talk of the Midwinter Festival coming up next week.
They must have spoke to you already.
Great to see you again. I appreciate
Good to see you
coming
Steve.
In.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Minute, sharing the news and asking questions for small business owners. Investors looking for a buyout can be tempting, but sometimes it may not be the right move for the health of the company. The SEC announced yesterday that it has denied the Chinese-led takeover of the Chicago Stock Exchange for fear of losing market records in the transition. So take a step back when that big paycheck comes in. With takeovers in the mind, remember 2017? You might remember that Tribune Media got bought out by Sinclair Broadcasting shortly after regulation changed from the FCC. But now, reports are emerging of an internal investigation about whether rules were improperly moved to favor the takeover. Oh, I just can't keep up sometimes. But we've got to try. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, 1252 on this Friday afternoon. Thanks very much for tuning in. John Williams coming up just around the corner. But first, we're going to talk to John Challenger, the CEO at Challenger Gray and Christmas. John, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Nice to be with you, Steve.
John, I've been saying Challenger Gray and Christmas for 35 years, I think. And you'd think it'd roll off my tongue by now.
Well, that's I'm probably going to stumble over some words.
Don't worry about that.
It every moment of the day.
Hey, you guys put out something this week that really jumped at me because I've been saying it for some time. And it's the fact that maybe it's time for businesses to stop testing prospective employees for marijuana usage. You know, I remember when it started back in the 80s, it seems as if our relationship with marijuana has changed significantly, and it just seems to me to be sort of a waste of time. You tell me, why do you think it's something that should go away?
Well, certainly how we think about marijuana is changing as we speak. 9 states now have legalized it, 29 for medical marijuana, and more companies now are trying to think about marijuana or treating marijuana like they do alcohol or other legal substances.
It seems to me like it should be, right? I mean, they're very similar in that, and you can certainly prohibit use of alcohol and use of other drugs at the workplace, but businesses might almost be cheating themselves by refusing to consider to hire people who smoke pot.
Well, especially in this tight labor market, there's a war for talent for the most productive and skilled workers. No company wants to screen out people who might be their best hires. So it could be very short-sighted today.
Tell me that again. So by refusing to consider those workers, the companies might actually be missing out on great employees?
Sure. They might miss out on some of the most exceptional talent because they screen people out. They find that they were using marijuana. It's in their, say, a urinalysis type of testing that they do in their screening. And it doesn't mean they're doing it on the job. If you're a company who needs to screen out workers who are in safety positions, you know, operating machinery or driving, that makes sense. But certainly you don't want to lose good workers because they're doing something in their off hours that doesn't affect their work.
I would imagine, too, if you are just routinely testing everyone you consider, that there's a cost involved there.
There is. Testing does cost companies a lot of money. You know, some tests up to $40 per employee, $42 per employee. So those are decisions companies have to make. It is an interesting dilemma they're in right now. Federal law still makes marijuana legal, but more and more states and more people are beginning to accept it. So we're in a period of real transition.
Do you know, John, what other things employers test for? I mean, we just were talking to Dr. Fidgel here about opioids. And do they test for opioids? Do they test for other drugs as well?
They do. They test for a number of things. Interestingly, about opioids, veterans have been lobbying, certain veterans groups for allowing medical cannabis to be allowed for veterans. It's one way. There's higher usage and addiction to opioids in veterans. This is one way medical marijuana is to help alleviate the effects and move away from that, to heal from that, and yet it can cause veterans to be screened out unnecessarily.
Interesting. So it's a nice way to help protect them, and yet they can't get a job because of it. So are you seeing companies move this way?
We are seeing more companies move that way. For example, AutoNation shifted its policy. They still uphold drug and alcohol free work environment, so they don't want people who come to the job impaired, but it's decided not to consider marijuana usage as a part of the hiring process.
John Challenger, the CEO at Challenger Gray and Christmas. Great to talk to you again, John.
Thanks, Steve.